CliffCentral.com.
Iskupu, Iskupu, yours ain't banging like mine, no. Yo, what's up, guys? It's your girl, Gigi LeMaine, and you're tuned into The Unplugged Radio Show on Thursdays right here on Cliff Central from 12 to 1 p.m., baby. Are you ready?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Unplugged Radio Show. My name is Simpiwe Petros, and you're in the shortest hour of the week. I'm not alone, of course. I'm with the gentleman. Guys, what's up?
What's poppin', dog? I'm back in the land of the living.
Yeah, no, I made a special tune for you, dog. I got you. Welcome back, homie.
Yeah, man. I'm good. How you doing, Lizzo?
Chilling. As long as you're here, I'm fine.
You know, dog. Hi. You know what it is. As long as I'm in the building, the vibes are good.
Yeah, man. So tell us about your trip to London, bro. Before we even get into the discussions we're about to have, tell us about your trip, man.
London's crazy, dog. You know, I realized a couple of things about both London and South Africa and, you know, the kind of people we have here in this country. I'll tell you something about London, bro. I have never in my life been to a place where people walk so damn fast, dog.
I know. I remember reading one of your tweets, dog.
My gosh, bro. I've never seen people, dog. Like, people don't walk in London. In South Africa, when we walk,
we walk.
In London, nah, bro, you run.
They power walk. Where are they walking to?
Dog, the next stop, the next bus stop, the next train, the next this, the next that. Dog, they count them. They count the seconds in their day to the minute. Like, if they'll run to the bus because it's coming in 6 minutes, right?
Yeah. It's a 10-minute walk. You said London. I remember reading a status of yours. Only in London is 6 minutes a lifetime to you.
Yeah, dog. Yeah. 6 minutes is a lifetime. The city where 6 minutes is a lifetime. That's what I was calling it, because like they walk to they want to get to the bus because it's coming in 6 minutes, right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So you think, okay, cool. So you look at the time it takes you to walk there because you got this app that literally calculates everything for you.
So really?
It says a 10-minute walk. So you're like, okay, so they see it's 10-minute walk. They know the bus is coming in 6 minutes. The next bus comes in 12 minutes, which is just a 6-minute difference. They run, bro. They'll run to that 6-minute bus. I'm like, guys, 6 minutes. you wanna get there sweating?
I can chill for I can chill for 6 minutes.
In South Africa, just if we just know the bus is coming, we good. Like, they guarantee that bus will arrive 6 minutes after the one they missed. Bro, we in our country, if we just know another one's coming, we'll be like, no, we'll catch the next one.
It's a hot train. I never know when the hot train is coming.
Late. Yeah, you just arrive.
You just arrive. You actually don't care when the hot train is coming.
But you know it's coming. So you're comfortable.
Yeah.
Dog, these people are not comfortable.
Even if it gets late, that's the thing. Even if you're 5-10 minutes
late, you're cool. You're like,
it's all good, man.
Yeah, dog. In London, bro, 6 minutes, they're like, what the hell is this? I'm like, damn, bro, you guys will never survive in our country, dog. But yeah, so that's the one thing. Like, people are always rushing. People don't speak to each other in London, bro. Like, you'd think that you're sitting in a bus and a train every single day of your life, going to work or whatever, and you're around new people every time. Not like in South Africa where you're isolated to your car every morning. You got different people in your life, in and out. But bro, they just sit there with their earphones in. They don't talk. They don't laugh, dog. I'm like, this is not a city of living
it's
people.
It's not life, dog.
They're
it's
not
really
living,
not life.
Dog. They're not
so,
living.
So I think you must have learned a whole lot of perspective in life, bro, because there's a lot of stuff happening overseas, a lot of different cultural tendencies and all that.
Yeah.
But what I want to find out from you, before we even get into the conversation, is what's the greatest lesson you learned in your 10 days in London?
The lesson I learned in London, I would say that, you know, the most important thing about a country, no matter how first world it is, it always comes just down to the energy of the people that live in it, bro.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
London's got everything you'd ever dream of in terms of a systemized, efficient sort of societal structure, transport structure, all that stuff, you know. They've got everything you need. You can get around wherever you want, whenever you want. But, hey, man, if the juice in the bottle is not nice,
you know,
what's the point of that nice
they ain't
that
got
nice
the
design?
Juice, man, they ain't got their juice. They lost their juice.
So yeah, man. I think it made me think about life too. It's like, you know, it's just like being a good person and not appearing in a certain way is irrelevant to who you really are and what you really are. Yeah. So it's like yeah, man. I really enjoyed it for what London had to offer. It was really great. But yo, man, I really grew like another respect and love for my own country and countries similar to South Africa. South Africa is one of the best places in the world.
The best country in the world, buddy.
No doubt, bro.
With all our nonsense, Brian, I actually want to shift the conversation now and go to my brother over here in the EFF t-shirt.
Hey.
And let's talk to Lesego Mapanga. What up, buddy?
I'm chilling. What's up?
All good, man. So tell me, why the EFF t-shirt, bro? bro?
Because we all want economic freedom in our lifetime. It's so simple.
All right, man.
It's so simple.
So tell me, what are your views on the specifics of what's happening in Cape Town later today? SONA 2017.
Listen, we know it's going to be lit, right? Yeah. We know it's going to be lit. We know there's like a whole army of people there.
Yeah, literally.
Like literally
the
a whole army.
They're also, yeah, like it's
literally
crazy.
A whole army. But it's still going to be lit, you know?
Yeah.
And the thing is, yeah, and it's like what Vaughn said, man. A country, it doesn't matter what the decorum of SONA is, you know, how you're supposed to dress. It doesn't matter what the protocols are. It doesn't matter where it is.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how fancy the city is.
Yeah.
The bottom line is, if you don't do well by your people, and the people aren't happy, because the people are what's sending out the vibrations.
Yeah.
So whatever vibrations you're going to see tonight at SONA, it's the vibrations of the people.
Of course, though.
If you have negative vibrations, it's because you've been doing something wrong.
Yeah.
And you can't stop the vibrations of the people. It doesn't matter how systematic it is.
Dog. So basically, that's what I was saying. We got to hold our leaders accountable, right?
Yeah.
Dog. It's a crazy thing. My issue is that fees hasn't fallen. And there's a whole other amount of things that are about to happen in SONA. And I don't even think they might even discuss fees. You know,
bro, there's so many things that are going on right now, bro. Like, you know, even you know talking about like every country having their political unrest, you know.
Yeah.
I was in London, I was walking around the one day, I figured out the transport system. I caught like trains into town, so I went to Buckingham Palace. I wanted to go cover what the Queen's up to there.
Yeah.
She's actually doing fuck all, so don't worry about it. I don't even know what she does, dog. Anyway, so I get to like this park, and as I'm taking a few photos and stuff, and I'm just walking around, and I start hearing like chanting. So
yeah.
I'm thinking, what's going on, dog? This feels starting to feel like home. I walk around the corner and I see like protesters, bro. Like
different, really? Yeah, they strike in England?
Yeah, straight up, dog. Different races, all like standing with these placards. Except the one difference, I won't lie, between the English protesters and the South African protesters, is that their boards that they're holding up have a lot more articulate detail in them.
Oh, right.
They got paragraphs on their boards. In South Africa, we just have like footsack.
The point.
We just get to the point. like in England, they have like sentences of stuff. Like the one board I read was talking about Brexit.
Yeah.
So they were chanting things. They were saying things like, no Trump, no Brexit, no racist EU exit, no Trump,
oh,
no
wow.
Brexit, no racist EU exit. They're going on, and I'm sitting there thinking, okay, this is interesting, because now I'm witnessing like a protest in another society. And
yeah.
And it just dawned on me that, you know, the world is set up in such a way that there will always be people that feel at the moment, and most of these countries are set up in a way where there will always be people that feel oppressed, because the people that are the people that have the power want to remain there. So the only way they can do that is to kind of step on people, you know.
Yeah.
So the only time it really starts changing is when the people rise up. And now, like you're talking about, those vibrations of the people, you can't deny them, because London have come together, and America are coming together in such a big way against these bans for the Trump's pushing out, and this Brexit thing. Like, they're coming together in a way that's starting to be undeniable. You can't not notice it, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, they were standing in front of the Queen, in front of Buckingham Palace, in front of the Parliament, non-stop, bro, the whole afternoon, all these people. And then they got it, bro. Then they equipped those first world protests, yo.
Yeah.
They came through with the speakers.
Yo.
The one homie had a microphone.
Yo.
He was even throwing ad-libs in there. They were like, no Trump, no Brexit. He's like, Brexit. He's an exit.
It's like next level.
That's what I was saying. It's a whole production. I was
But
it made me realize, thinking about SONA, it's like, you know, all over the world there are these problems. But, I think as South Africans, we have such a unique position as people. Because, you know, in London, okay, you do have multicultural people, but they come from different places. Like, for instance, you'll have like a lot of Arab people there, a lot of South Africans, but they're literally from another place. So they've moved there, immigrated.
Yeah.
Whereas South Africa is full of people that are from South Africa.
Yeah.
Different people that are from South Africa.
Yeah.
Like, even different people within the African cultures that are from South Africa. So it's like, we are different, but we have this one thing that holds us together, and that is our South African
identity,
you know.
There's beauty in our diversity.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's why I think, like, so our political like situation and SONA and all that type of thing is like it's a very interesting like space, because of all these different things. But we also as people, we have the power, you know. Like, that's where I feel like we need to shift to. Like, we need to shift to the point where we kind of identify ourselves as a collective of South Africans, and then kind of like figure out, like, hey man, how are we going to get someone in there who can rap us like that?
Yeah.
And not,
yeah.
not rap us in context or in sections,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
That's not what we're really looking for, you know what I'm saying? So that I'd like to see something like that kind of start unfolding, you know? And that's when we're talking about all these things they got to talk about in Sona.
Yeah.
I can't stop with a list, bro.
I just think at the same time, even with you giving us the perspective of protesting in the first world,
yes.
that we always have something that we want to fight for. I think it's the deeper issue above everything else is I think people are trying to express themselves, trying to stand up for something. And if there's nothing going wrong in the world, what would you stand for? How would you express yourself? I think that's a very important question.
Yeah.
And if you want to drop in some of your views on Sona today, or Trump, or even just some of the stuff that we're going to be talking about. We're about to talk about love today. I think that it's the month of love, February, Valentine's Day.
Oh, yeah.
You can drop us a WhatsApp message on 079-748-2090. Let me repeat that for you. 079-748-2090. We want to hear your views. And if you're on social media, drop us a tweet or two with the hashtag Unplugged Radio Show. And we'll read some of those tweets. We read some of your messages. We want to hear your views and everything and hear what you have to say. We all have something to fight for at the end of the day, and I think it's like I said, it's expression. How
yeah.
do you express yourself moving forward as a youth, as a generation that's trying to stand up for something? Fees, free education,
yeah.
in the 70s it was Afrikaans,
yeah.
it's a lot of things, bro.
I feel like you know, like there's this thing that I developed in my mind. I was thinking about like this thing of expression and like creating and all that type of stuff.
Yeah.
Being like being an artist and that type of thing, you kind of like have this desire for your entire life to express yourself.
Exactly.
I mean, not even as an artist, even just as a young person these days. Like
yeah.
millennials want to express themselves in any way they can. But then I was thinking about this, bro. I was like, a lot of the time as South Africans and people in the world, like even in London, man, because I was like, I went to a university in London.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Called SOAS. So it's SOAS. It's called the School of African and Oriental Studies.
Oh, wow, okay. Yeah.
Hmm.
So I thought that was cool too. When I walked into the building and I read the board, I was like, okay, so the board says, South Africa, the School of Oriental and African Studies, we are the leading institution in the world when it comes to African and Oriental Studies. Then I was like, oh,
how is that possible?
I say, hold up. What about the people in Asia and Africa, dog?
Hey.
Oh, you're telling me you know more than
first hand experience right here.
That's when I realized I got a problem with a lot of things England do, eh? Like a lot, bro. But we'll get into that like probably off air because I got a whole lot of shit to say about that. I'm the queen coming to hunt me. But anyway,
yeah.
So I went to that school and they were doing a poetry night. So I went and I performed some poetry in England, which was pretty dope.
Oh, it's
yeah,
shut
I did
up,
like two
man.
I did two poems there. It was fun, man. I had some fun. I was drinking some wine. I was on my face. I stood up on stage. It was dope. But the point that I'm making is that I watched these British poets like speaking, and bro, I was like, wow, man, these guys are expressing similar views that we have as young
yeah,
people in South
yeah,
Africa.
Yeah,
it's not that
yeah.
different. They're also complaining about who's voted into power, who's the prime minister, this, the queen, this,
yeah.
this, the Brexit, this, the Trump, this. They're going on and on and on. And I'm thinking, okay, this is really like almost like it's enlightening because you realize that as a young people worldwide,
we have a
common thread that holds us together. And this is this like we want freedom and justice. That's really what young people want in the world.
Yeah.
So. I'm sitting there thinking, okay, it's so great that we all express ourselves vocally because we have freedom of speech.
Yeah.
You and I, all of us, we express ourselves all the time.
Yeah.
On social media, in person, on radio, on TV, we do it all.
Yeah.
But I started thinking like maybe what young people need to do, and to answer your question,
yeah.
this is like where I'm getting to, is when you ask me, what do we do to express ourselves? Maybe what we should start doing is having expression in action as opposed to just expression. Because like, we can talk and talk and talk and express and express and express and relieve ourselves from the burden that we hold or this
that's
opinion
what's
that
bottling
we hold.
Us up.
Yes,
yeah.
We can relieve ourselves of it, but how do we relieve each other off of it? The only way we can do that is by practicing expression through action.
So
maybe if you have this passionate thing about fees must falling, figure out what you can do with your life in terms of a career or a position of power you can occupy within the structural society that we live in, and play the game to change it. So like, get into a position where you could influence a decision on fees falling and make it happen, because that, to me, is true expression.
You know, I want to give it in broader. There's a whole like this ABSA case, right, about ABSA being
whatever.
Yeah. One Oak was like saying, look, guys, if that's the case, just like literally close your account at ABSA and just move it to another bank.
Dog.
Like, literally, that's how you just kill a whole bank. Like, in
that's it.
One day, done. Million so, accounts gone.
So what I want to say, actually, is that we talk a lot about the problems that we face. So we express ourselves to some degree, right? But now, my issue is how do we get and move on to being the solution? Because we face a lot of issues in the world and we face a lot of problems and we talk about these problems. But now I think it's time for us to shift from being part of the problem and talking about the problem, which is expression, to being part of the solution and forming the solutions that we need, because we are the solution to our world's most direst problems and we have the solutions inside of us, but we're just not willing to take our thoughts and our action to the next level. And that's what you're saying, right?
Exactly, bro. It's like it relates to everything. Like, expression in action has become something that I've been thinking about a lot, because, like, you know, even in love, we can say and say we love someone, talk, right?
But where's your action? How are you loving on that person?
You get what I'm saying? Like, how do you express it in action? Because at the end of the day, I guess we are what we do. You know?
And I guess we're all rubbish at that because we're all single. Hey.
Oh my god. And that's also a shout out. Any ladies out there want to hit this up for Mapanga? You can get him at @LSG_Mapanga on Twitter.
One more time for Lesir from Mapanga.
Oh yeah, I think we need to listen to this podcast again and really just hold ourselves accountable.
But man, that's the thing. Like,
it's been an
interesting thing to think about expressing yourself in action as opposed to just expressing, especially people that are artistic too, because you find yourself being artistic to the point where you're creating poetry and you're creating movies and you're creating songs and stuff that are expressing yourself. And to me, that's great, because your action and your life is creating that, right?
Yeah.
But at the same time, rappers, singers, movie directors, script writers, book writers, all of you guys that create and put something out there for the world to consume and feel inspired by and feel uplifted by, you have a responsibility to live up to what you put out there.
Yeah.
So your life, apart from your art, needs to represent what you say.
So your life's work needs to speak more than your words.
You understand what I'm saying? To some degree, like, you have
legacy.
You can't be like, for instance, you can't be let's say you're a rap artist talking about how independent you are. Then the next thing, you don't become independent. Yeah. Or like, let's say you are a movie director that creates indie films and writes his own scripts because that's what he believes real art is and that's what he represents in the world. Then the next thing, he goes and makes a studio movie. That doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
You got to try and hold yourself accountable to what it is you put out in the world.
Be authentic.
Yeah, exactly.
Be 100% authentic. Stop trying to fake things and trying to talk the talk instead of walking the walk, because we have enough talkers. We need walkers.
Yeah, exactly, bro. So
dope.
And speaking about authenticity, right? Like we said, when you love, gotta love for real, guys. Gotta love deeply.
Let's talk about that
now. Gotta love deeply.
I think we need
love things deeper than anything.
I think we need to shift the discussion and really talk about love, because we live in a world where love is projected and moved in a different way. Let's talk about Valentine's Day for the first thing. I dropped a tweet earlier saying, does Valentine's Day really stand for what love is in 2017?
I think it stands for chick flicks.
LSG, I think you have a lot of stuff to load down.
Bro, I feel like Valentine's Day, honestly, is just it was something that was conceived by, you know, corporates and retailers, you know. Just pretty much like bump up, you know, anything, you know, for an extra buck or a highlight in the year.
It's crazy. No, it's the truth, bro, because I feel like the view of love has been perverted in such a way that it's all about money and trying to get what's yours at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Love has been perverted to such a way that it's pointed inwards instead of outwards. Because is love actually an emotion or is it a choice?
Whew.
That's the next level of the discussion, because I feel like there are levels to what love is. I think action really expresses and goes out beyond who you are.
That's true. Valentine's Day for me also, man, like one of the most effective it's like
marketing tools ever.
Like well crafted, like money making suction cup.
I feel like it's like that and Christmas.
I was just about to say that
and
Christmas,
Easter,
all of that.
It's
all just like well crafted societal sort of ideas that supports economic growth within a sector. So like, you know, like you know, people that make cards and like cups and shit, they need money at least once a year.
Yo.
So yeah, man. But I'm not a big fan of Valentine's Day per se. I never really have been. Even when I was in a relationship, I used to find it quite a pointless exercise. But You know, I guess, man, I guess there's pros and cons to the whole thing. But I mean, for me, dog, you can miss me.
Okay, so what I want to say is that you need to understand your partner. You know, there's different love languages and all that.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Love language like touch, spending time together, gifts, acts of service and all of that, right? For me, Valentine's Day would stand when I get married. Because, you know, it's beyond the gifts or giving to a girlfriend that I don't know who's going to be my wife. There's certain things that I feel like I need to save for marriage. And that's one of them is Valentine's Day and the gifts. Because if I know my wife loves gifts, I'm going to shower her with gifts. Because that's me loving on her.
And she doesn't like gifts?
Then I'll express myself through a love language. That's the thing.
Okay.
Yeah. That's why I say it's important to understand your partner's love language, because love from that point of view shifts from being an emotion to action and a choice to giving to that person.
Yeah.
Giving of yourself and what you have to that person.
If anyone's listening to this, my love language is money. I'm just putting
up. Hey! Oh yes, all right.
That's what I want you to rack him up.
stacks on stacks.
So for me, what is crazy. You said it, because last night I was talking about the same thing. I was it's just important to find a relationship where you understand each other's love languages.
Yeah.
So that you don't feel like this person doesn't care, because some people just show it in a different way, you know. So that is true. Like you gotta have that understanding if you want to have a good relationship, you know.
But one thing that I'll point out, right? So obviously this is a very one-sided discussion, right? Very patriarchal, male only. Abomination of an opinion.
Yeah.
So I think
from three single men to make it worse.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, so wait, what do you
propose? Know about love?
What do you propose? Do you think we should bring some people into studio?
I think we should hook this up.
Okay. Wait. So let's have a moment, like a break, so we can gather some troops together and to give us some different perspective on what love is. So on the other side of this, we're getting people that don't even know they're coming on the show to share their views on what love is. This is for you, Lesego.
Hey, what? The bromance is so real. The bromance is so real.
I know what you want, bro.
That's right.
I understand
exactly
your love language, dog.
Done with this. Done. I need no one in my life. I got some poo, I'm right.
Okay, Lesego, go get the people, man. We're about to talk to some people, get their points of view on what love is. If you want to drop what your points of view on love are, drop us a WhatsApp message on 079-748-2090 or drop us a tweet at with hashtag Unplugged Radio Show. We want to hear your views. Your views are important to us, because I mean, this is not our show, this is our show, and together we do the most. We're a tribe of superstar leaders, and we're about to do the most. We're about to delve in on love. Vaughn, it's a very tough topic for us to talk about, because I feel like we don't really have authority to really speak into it. But I know there are some more experienced people that can drop in some wisdom here. We've got Dory in studio. Hi, Dory. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
Good, man. It's good to have you in studio. Let's hear your views on what is love.
Oh, jeez, dude.
It's a tough one, right?
Maybe not.
Okay.
Well, there's different kinds of love.
Yeah, yeah.
But I can tell you in terms of like relationships.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Something a friend sent to me many, many years ago, which is very wise words that I stick with.
Yeah.
Like in a relationship, it shouldn't be hard work.
Mm. So it should be effortless.
So relationships are hard work, but it shouldn't feel like it's hard work.
Oh,
so
wow.
You know what I mean? Like it should be
because you enjoy it so much.
Yeah.
The process of working through it shouldn't be something that drains you. It should be something that you kind of want.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think if you have like a mutual respect for each other and you're kind to each other, then you can resolve issues. Because there will be issues. It's never going to be plain sailing the whole way.
Yeah.
It's never going to be like
the
that.
The honeymoon phase ends eventually, right?
Yeah, pretty much on the honeymoon.
A lot of young people feel that relationships, a lot of young people feel that relationships are something that are hard. And that you have to work, that you have to keep on working through. So you're saying that relationships shouldn't be hard work in the sense that the work you put in shouldn't make you feel like you're struggling to do this.
It shouldn't be constant hard work, that's for sure. I mean, once in a while, you're going to have a tough time, you're going to work through it.
Yeah.
And then you should be okay. But like, if it's constant hard work, then that's a bad thing.
So my question is, what is the hardest bit that you've ever gone through now with your current hubby?
With my current hubby as opposed to my next one.
Yeah, I know. Okay.
Or was the work harder in the beginning?
And does it get easier the longer it goes
on? Oh, no. I mean, geez, in the beginning, because we were young and unencumbered, and it was so easy in the beginning.
Oh, okay.
And we were together, I'll tell you, 3 years before we moved in together.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So it was really easy when we were only seeing each other on weekends. Yeah. We had the space from each other. Yeah. Then we moved in together. And even then, it wasn't that bad because we moved into a big enough house that we could have our own space within the house. Okay. So that was all fine. Then we got married, which was like incidental because it was almost point. I mean, it didn't really change anything. Yeah, having a child
changed everything.
Game changer.
Everything.
I mean, you know, we went for these antenatal classes. You go for classes while you're pregnant to learn what you have to do. And one of the classes was a psychologist. And she said to all of us, having a child is a crisis in your relationship. And if you don't see it that way, you're in trouble.
Wow.
Whoa.
So basically it needs to be
an
urgent thing. There's a sense of urgency.
You need to know that this is like hectic and it's going to push you to the limits and it's going to test you.
Sure.
It's
individually and as a couple.
Oh yeah.
What?
Crisis is the word they use.
So, yeah.
Child crisis.
Oh, that's crazy. Because now I think about people that have a baby before they even go into a serious relationship. What is that?
What happens to them?
What does that mean? Like,
well, look how many of those don't last.
Yeah, it's true. It's crazy. Like, that's such a different and shifted perspective. What I want to ask you now is on love specifically. We've spoken a lot now, but do you feel like love is an emotion or it's a choice?
Sure. I don't think it's a choice necessarily. I think it's something that happens naturally. You'll naturally feel love for something or someone.
Okay.
True. I've never
it
really,
might be a combination of both, you know?
Yeah.
I think it's a constant choice too. I think it's obviously a feeling that you get and an emotion that you get, like when you feel in love. But I think the choice comes in, like what Rory was saying, is pretty much like when you start going through the times that are tough, you need to kind of like choose to see them through.
Yeah.
You can't like give up or like walk away or whatever the case is.
There's
always like a small choice in you that has to go, okay, no, I'm going to work at this. I'm going to make it better or I'm going to figure it out. Yeah.
Yeah, especially when the honeymoon phase is over. You're going to have to fight through. And you're not devastated no more. What are you going to do?
Especially when that like whole chemistry thing kind of fades because it does, unfortunately. Like, you know, in the beginning you like hold hands and there's like the jolts of electricity and all that stuff. And I mean, for me, I have to say, like, it's not like I dated a huge amount of people before my husband, but I never had that with anyone else. And then when I met him, it was that's what everyone means.
I feel you.
Wow.
It does exist like that, you see. We just sometimes, I think, me and Lesejo, we're just cynical.
We're like over this thing. But if you think about it though, like, Dory, had you not met him, right, and had that feeling, that electricity going through, and let's say you marry some other guy, you know, like, I don't know. Like, mathematically, it does not make sense to me that everybody's going to find the one.
Is there a one, though? That's the first question.
I don't know if there's one. Yeah. There's probably more than one.
Yeah.
But I can't say because, you know, so that's not my path.
There are other Dory ones just walking around going to find.
That's actually a very interesting question because I chatted to someone when they said that we have the capacity to fall in love with sort of anyone, really, if you give it the chance. Like, not anyone, like, I mean, when I say anyone, like anyone in the world that you come across you can fall in love with, but you know, there's certain people that are your type that live in this world and there's a couple of them, so it's not like you'll fall in love with one person and then that's the only person for eternity if you don't ever marry them or something.
So what I want to say is, I think this is a very profound statement, and this is where we need to shift our focus, because there's no such thing as finding the right person. Instead of trying to look for the right person, I think you need to become the right person. That's the real truth, guys. That's the real truth. Yeah, man. No, that's the real
truth.
It's true. That's the real truth, because I was talking to some of the guys outside and they were saying, no, I need to find a girl to settle down. Nah, dog, find yourself first so that you don't drag a girl along on this journey and of your brokenness.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a serious thing.
So I guess my question now is, Dory, how did you guys overcome the crisis of kid?
Sure. Well, okay, it is really tough in the beginning, and thank goodness we did have the counseling beforehand. So we were like, okay, and also, I am very grateful that I have very honest friends who had recently been through it as well, and they were like, no, 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 don't worry, it gets better. And yes, you're going to say, oh my God, we totally regret doing this. Why did we do this? And it's normal to feel that way, and that it does. And I mean, oh yeah, so like those first few months, you're just like, oh my God, what have we done? But then, yeah, I mean, you get into the routine, you start sleeping 3 hours a night instead of 2 hours a night.
That is a crisis, though. Let's not lie.
Yeah, no, I'm telling you, like, the lack of sleep is probably what causes 90% of the problem. So, yeah, no, you just do it. I mean, it's about, like, adjusting to a new way of life.
And, nice, nice.
And then there's, like, something, I mean, it's also very bonding. Don't get me wrong. Like, having a kid is like, you know, especially when they're sleeping, and then you can look at them and go, oh, look what we made. That's amazing.
I cannot relate. So, and I'm glad I can say that right now. Like, I'm so glad I can say that.
Yeah. But definitely do it when you're older.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, definitely.
So over 30. Over 30.
So I'm guessing the romance is still there. Everything happened.
Yeah, I mean, we've been together a long time, so it's kind of different. But I mean, yeah, we'll sit together on the couch and watch movies, and we'll hold hands, and you know.
So what's your guys' plans for Valentine's Day then?
Oh no, we don't do that.
Shout out. And even like as a girl, you never want to
No, I don't really care. I really don't. I mean, like in the beginning, he used to give me chocolates and like, you know, like some flowers once in a while. I'm not really into the whole flowers thing.
Yeah.
Even with other things like birthdays or Christmas or anniversaries or any of that stuff, like we'll go out and we'll maybe have a meal or we'll go on a holiday. We don't buy each other gifts.
Yeah. Oh, so it's not material. It's about experiencing things together.
Yeah.
That's powerful stuff, man.
That's so deep.
That's so powerful. You know what I think we should do? We should get somebody else in studio to give us a different point of view on
their... So I love the fact. So right now we've gotten the married, with a kid, and the full 9 yards perspective.
Yeah.
We're pretty much the opposite because we're the single, male only, not going to get married anytime soon perspective.
We focus on our career more than love specifically. And I don't think those two should ever be compared to each other. But from a youthful point of view, like it's tough in the times that we live.
100%. Dory, thank you so much. We hijacked you. We know, I mean, for those of you that don't know, basically, Dory runs Cliff Central. Like, don't.
Not entirely.
Don't look at the name and think you're not. No, it's not true. So we're going to pretty much let her go. she's the real one. So we're pretty much going to let you go and say thank you. Because we knew the hesitation, we had to pretty much roll it in here.
Yeah, thank you so much, Dory.
And Dory, just to sum it up, Dory says that relationships shouldn't be hard work. So if you're out there and your relationship is hard work, just know it shouldn't be.
Best check yourself. So let's hurry up and check up on somebody else. That was some interesting insight, Vaughn.
Like, hey, man, that's a different perspective.
Like,
bro,
it was crazy, bro. The fact that you said that having a child is a crisis.
Nah, dog. Like, it is a huge crisis. That's my deepest fear, actually. That's tough. The ultimate deepest fear of my life is to knock up a girl before I'm ready.
That is tough.
Like,
that
it's some it's tough just shit. Next level. It's next level. Also, at the same time, let's talk about this whole money versus love thing, bro. Like, because I think a lot of people, especially our age, tend to sacrifice their relationship for the career.
This does tend to happen. Sometimes I don't think it tends to. Sometimes I don't think it happens by choice, though. I think they don't always know. You know, they just end up.
But the one person that
end
does
up doing
know.
It.
Sorry about that.
Nah. Dog.
Where you pretty much push
hello,
it into Palesa. The
show.
Oh, hello. Hey.
Oh, Palesa, we had to put. So Palesa is one of my employees. wow. I employ her here at Cliff Central. She works for me.
Wow. Come through, Palesa. How are you? We've been trying to get you in the studio for the past 10 minutes, but thank you for being brave enough to step in and share some of your views on love.
I still don't want to be here.
But tell me, okay, no, let's make it easy for you. Tell me, what does love mean to you?
Nothing.
You?
Wow.
How do you mean nothing, though?
Yeah. That's so deep.
Do you feel like it doesn't exist?
Sometimes I feel like that.
Yeah.
So do I.
What's wrong? Like, tell us. Tell us what's on your heart. Like, that's the most important thing.
I don't know. I just feel like everyone is lying to each other.
Yeah.
Everyone wants to be in a relationship for gaining something.
To be seen. Do you feel like they want to be seen?
Everyone's doing it for the social media, or because my friend is in a relationship, let me be in a relationship. Or, like, they want to gain something from a relationship, which is materialistic. It's not... Yeah.
It's for the likes on the gram.
Yes.
Yeah, no, that's real.
Or for the vacations. Yeah. Or it's just...
So have you ever experienced like a relationship where you can say that you truly love the person?
Mm-mm. No.
Not yet?
No.
I can understand that. We're still young, right?
Yeah.
So we have time. Lesego, okay. Can you say you've experienced a relationship like that where you can say like, yo, no, but I love that girl?
Yeah, I think probably all the relationships I've been through, right? Yeah.
But Lesego, then again, you're a very intentional guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's true.
You know, so, but I mean, things don't always work out the way we think we want them to. So, yeah. I mean, all these things go wrong and then see a situation and people move on, which is cool. But I mean, Palisa, I don't know. So the first question was, you know, what is love to you? Do you believe in love? And the question was no.
Yeah.
Well, surely that's incorrect. Because, I mean, obviously you love your father, you love your family,
mm-hmm.
you love your friends, etc. So just the romantic love that you're not so...
Yes.
Sure about.
Yeah.
Do you think that you'll ever love someone? Do you think you'll find that one guy that will be like, yo...
Yeah, is there hope? Is there hope? That's the fundamental question.
A little bit.
Really?
Like, just 40%.
40%?
40%.
So, 60% chance of dark clouds, partly cloudy.
Ah, shame.
With a chance of thunder showers for the rest of your life?
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like everyone is lying to each other. I don't know. I don't know what's going on. Everyone is lying.
So you're basically saying the world is messed up.
Mm-hmm.
But how do we fix it then?
By being true to each other, I guess.
So authenticity. Back to authenticity.
Yes. I feel like if people will be honest with each other. I feel like sometimes in relationships, as a guy, maybe you'll come to me and be like, yeah, Palisa, I love you, whatever, just to gain something from me, like to get something from me. If maybe you'd come to me and tell me, Palisa, this is what I want from you, and then I decide that, okay, sharp, so Simpio wants 1, 2, 3 from me. I give it to him or I don't.
So you manage expectations.
Yes.
Are you saying just being upfront with your intentions? Like that's the...
Yeah.
So wait, but doesn't that perpetuate the culture that we're living in, the era of the side chick and the side nigga and all sorts of things which pervert what love truly is?
I think that's what's messed up.
Yeah.
Everyone wants to... Not every girl is okay with being a side chick because, I mean, as a side chick, I'm getting...
Allowance,
I'm getting this, yeah, you know, I'm getting, now they're getting apartments.
It's crazy.
Side chick and
but if you think about it, there's nothing objectively wrong with being a side chick. If you were to be my side chick, right,
mm-hmm.
and all you want is an allowance, date and an apartment, and mm-hmm. I give you those things, mm-hmm. right, and perhaps you get to walk with me to like award ceremonies or whatever, it's a transaction. You get what you want, I get what I want.
But is that love or is it a business transaction?
What about the girl who's in your life as well? What about that main chick? What about
that's,
her?
That's the issue.
Yeah, where's the love? Like, yes. That's the question. Because that's the fundamental thing that we're talking about today. Because I feel like then we're shifting from love to really business and money.
Mm.
But let's again ask you a question.
Mm.
And I always use this analogy. If you had all the money in the world, right? And let's say your favorite car is a Ferrari.
Mm-hmm.
You had R1 billion in your account. Does that mean that you would just have a Ferrari? Or would you have a Ferrari, a Lamborghini, and a Porsche? What would you have?
Ferrari, Lamborghini,
and a Porsche.
Oh,
okay.
My gosh.
Okay, good.
That's the problem. See, exactly that. Exactly that is the problem. That's why love is a word that's so loosely thrown around. We don't know what it is nowadays because culture is dictating a perverted view of what love is.
So I'll tell you why I asked that question.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, you know, obviously women are always like, you know, men are trash, etc., etc.
Yeah, Brian, that thing hacks my life, eh?
But basically, what I just asked you now, the question I just asked you now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, if you had all these things, you would have these three cars. So why is it that when you see like a really wealthy guy, right, that has a main chick and three side chicks, all of a sudden it doesn't make sense?
No, but material stuff and emotions are two different things.
You see, you're assuming that he treats those side chicks as emotion. He doesn't. They're just possessions. They're assets.
Why are you playing with...
That's not love, guys.
Like, why?
It has nothing to do with love. That's what I'm trying to say.
But you can't compare that to...
I think what
Lisa
was saying is that these things live like completely apart from love. It's like...
Yeah.
It's literally something you can... It's something that you purchase for pleasure, I guess, in a sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now you're getting side chicks for pleasure?
Yeah, but I mean...
It's all about
me. But the side chicks are
being side chicks for pleasure too.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
It is what it is.
I just think different strokes for different folks. If you don't like it, don't do it. If you like it, I guess you have the freedom to do what you want.
So I think it's shifted from what I can do for you to what can I get out of it. Yeah. That's the whole thing. Like, if your perspective is what you want to gain, that's the type of life you're going to live. But if you want to serve somebody, if you want to give yourself to somebody else, then you need to follow the road less traveled nowadays, you know, which is a very deep and you see, that's why
how many guys are following that road that's less traveled?
Well, not every guy needs to be 10% like
10% of you guys are following that
road. Do you think so? Do you think that the majority of guys have side chicks in the world, in South Africa?
Yes.
Do you think so?
Yes.
But what
I don't
do you
know.
Think
I don't
side
know.
Chicks and side niggas, some guys have yeah. side niggas.
Huh?
At night and girl and main chicks during the day.
So they got
after nine.
That's a plot twist, dog.
After nine.
That's crazy. See, that's the crazy shit I'm talking about. That's the crazy shit I'm talking about. What do you think? What do you think causes that? In essence, what do you think causes that nature? Because I think the whole thing of guys being a player or whatever is because a guy got hurt by some girl. He's like, no, all women are the same. I'm not gonna give my heart to anybody else because I know what happened to me last time.
So if you're gonna say that, Jorge, as a guy, woman hurt me, wada wada wada, it's okay for a girl to be a hoe because
I'm not saying it's okay.
She was hurt by some guy who she loved.
I'm not saying it's okay. I'm saying maybe that's what stimulates it, or is the catalyst for what's happening, or the culture, you know.
I just believe, see, if this relationship didn't work for you, you were being prepared for the next relationship. If maybe I'm with Lesego and he's a player, he's a cheater, and he doesn't like my attitude. If I move to Vaughan, then I know that I need to cut down on my attitude. I need to stop complaining.
Okay.
I need to do 1, 2, 3.
So every relationship is a lesson.
Yes. Yeah. It prepares you for the next lesson. It's not...
This is true, though.
But how do you deal with your hurt and your brokenness from the last relationship then? Because most people move from relationship to relationship. We spoke about this a couple of months back.
Hennessy.
It's called overlapping.
Hey. No, man. Stop jumping from one relationship to the other. You need to get yourself.
I'm so done with Vaughan. I'm so done.
No, but I feel you though. That's the truth. I think. But you know what I've learned, man? I've learned that, you know, when it comes to love, the people that understand it are the people that are in that specific.
Yeah.
The love that Lesego experiences with his girlfriend is not necessarily the same love I'm gonna experience with mine, and vice versa. You know, I think one thing about like our new society, and this is also why these things have arose, because back in the day, you could probably have a side chick, but it was something that nobody would. It wasn't classified. It was something that was actually kept so secret because you could find yourself in a situation where you could have got hung back in the day. They could have like put you in jail or something like that, right? So now, because we have a free society, obviously people feel the need to express themselves however they feel. So I think throughout history, there's always been people that have had an affinity to be like someone's side chick because they don't want to be in a relationship, but they like the benefits of having a guy in their life, right?
Mm.
So I think there's always been people like that. Now it's just being expressed more, and social media has put us in touch with them more, and it's become almost like a fashion or something to
it's
that effect.
It's a lifestyle,
but at the same time, like I think like, you know, if we truly believe in being free and individual people, then we should let people just be who they are. Like,
yeah,
if it's a side chick and that's a side chick, and that's as long as, you know, it's not in my life. Like, if my girlfriend has a side guy and I don't like it, then I should confront.
It's a problem.
Then I should confront it. Yeah. If I'm sure there's people out there that are in relationships where they can have side chicks and side guys, and they're fine with that. But to me, I don't like that. But that doesn't mean that I think that they're stupid or they're wrong. Mm. It's just their choice of how they decide to live their lives, you know.
It's funny how we keep on shifting back to a lot of things in life, you know. We shift to a lot of things about expression in relationships. And the fundamental lesson here is really expression. Am I mistaken in saying that? Because if you don't confront certain issues, and if you don't do what works for the both of you, then you're forever gonna be caught up in what culture dictates instead of dictating the culture for yourself. And I think that's the fundamental lesson that I've learned from today's lesson, from today's talk and everything, is that there's a lot of things happening in culture. There's side chicks, there's side niggas, there are people trying to pursue love to settle down, there are people trying to pursue love so that they can do what works for them. There are people that realize that having a baby and all of that is a crisis. Like, I never even thought about that.
That
is a huge thing, dog.
Yeah, like, that's another one.
So, like,
can I ask a question?
Yeah, ask it, bro. Ask it. Go for it.
Real quick. Palessa, do you think all men are trash?
Yeah. Yes.
Ooh.
Well, listen, do you think all men are trash? Oh, that's so funny, though.
Wait, say that one more time. One more time. Yes.
Yeah.
But you know what? Like,
that's the stuff that's
the all men. You see, the thing of all men. That's the thing.
Dog.
But at the same time, like, I guess all of us in some way or another, if we like completely objective, we can all be trash. All people are trash, dog.
Yeah, all people.
I hate people.
Yeah, women are trash. Men are trash. Everybody's
just trash.
Vanessa,
yeah,
Vanessa, is it that all men are trash, or is it just because women keep making rubbish decisions?
Woo! Soko, you're taking it to the next level, eh, yo?
No, I just think men are trash.
Okay, cool.
And
guys.
Women are picking their own trash to. Yeah, I don't know.
To get involved.
Yeah, they're settling with their own trash. But
all right, cool.
Okay, ladies
Listen,
and gentlemen.
Whether we like it or not, in all our places, no matter where you live, everybody's got trash at home, right?
Dog.
Right?
No. And you gotta clean that shit out.
Everybody got trash at home.
No. You gotta clean that shit out.
No.
Take the trash out.
Yeah. Take that trash out. No. So my final words and final thoughts from week. Let's get around and talk about our final thoughts. Listen, what are your final thoughts from everything we spoke about?
Economic freedom in our lifetime. Positive vibrations.
Yes.
Old people are trash.
Hey. Wow. Hey, economic freedom in our lifetime is definitely going to kill the side chick market. Just
dog.
By the way, like,
in a real way.
Now side chicks are like, I'm independent. You know what I'm saying?
Vaughn.
My final thoughts for the week are that all of us young people all over the world, we have very similar problems within the countries we live in, or very similar issues that we have within our social spaces and got to do with love and relationships and all those things that exist everywhere. So don't feel that because you're going through something that's challenging that you are alone in this world. There's so many people going through the same thing.
Yeah.
And I think all we need to start doing is to make that known, or to change whatever it is you feel is bothering you in your life. Rather express yourself through action than just simply expressing yourself to relieve yourself from frustration. Try and permanently change it by doing something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's dope stuff, bro. I think for me, it's simple. You just got to do what works for you. Your identity is a necessity for your prosperity.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to flourish in this life, you got to know who you are. You got to know what works for you at the end of the day. And your identity flows out of your expression. Your expression is a reflection of who you are and what you think you are capable of.
Exactly.
Thank you so much, Palesa, for joining us this week. Here's an example of a man that's expressing himself in the most. Vaughn the Poet, thank you for wrapping up the show for us this week.
Shout out.
Until next time, this is the Unplugged Radio Show.
I feel like I've been keeping this poetry in for way too long, man. Way too long. So let me express. What if we could have achieved things if only we asked? Like if I took the chance, could I be the rapper? If I rolled in a panda, would I have broads in Atlanta? If I did comedy, would they stand up? And would they shoot me if I put my hands up? You see, maybe my white life matters, but my black soul doesn't. Cause I've seen them line up at Starbucks in their dozens. And I quote, "We'll never line up outside the polls to vote." The same people turn around and talk to me about the country like they just can't cope. Man, I'm losing hope. Everything's so twisted. Can someone explain to me? Why do good people keep getting screwed by life like you swear it believes in monogamy? Because when I close my eyes and look into my mind's astrology, they tell me we're free. But how are we free when every month we work to pay the landlord? And how are we free when half the country's screaming, "Where's the landlord?" Maybe everything that's normal needs to be redefined. Like, why do we have to have strong backs? Can't we have flexible spines? You see, the questions unanswered are the ones that I pursue. And I don't do it for me, and I don't do it for you. I do it for the author that's inside my head that writes my story in lead. Cause it seems to always erase the memory of when it was myself that I first met. But you can chill, bro. I know that I sound cynical, but all I'm really trying to say is that if growth is necessary, then change is critical. A man once told me that change is our only constant. He said it so sharply, he cut skin deep, he was so clinical, but it made me think that if change is our only constant, then why do we still live by the same principles? I heard that time is the only thing that's actually ours. So I've been spending my minutes counting the hours just to find a second to breathe, to release me from the tension of my own dreams. Because I've been going through a lot lately, and things have been tough. But I've got the whole squad with me, and I know they're gonna hold me down when there's not enough heart in me. But pardon me, let me take you back to the beginning. She left me. She said I'm way too busy. And now I'm left picking up the pieces to these emotion pictures to create my own Walt Disney. Vaughn the Poet. CliffCentral.com